from a mighty long way. I know he brought me. I know he brought me from a mighty, 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 mighty long way. His hand and his arm had to be long to catch me, because I was running from God and I had my sneaks on that could make me run faster, jump higher. See, but he got me. He got me with his goodness. Not with judgment, but with goodness. When someone's grace is displayed towards you with the goodness of God, you understand how good he really is. Don't come at me and tell me you're a sinner. I'll tell you, you're one too. It's his goodness that turns men to repentance towards God. Amen. If you understand that anywhere you go in the kingdom of God and someone begins to start preaching to you the law of Moses, all you've got to do is point to the cross. And if they ain't got a cross in the church, all you got to tell them, Jesus died. When he resurrected, grace was released for me. And if you don't understand the grace, then you better best learn how to keep your mouth shut. We've had enough people leaving church because they got offended by someone telling them about their sin. So it's about time we change that whole mindset. Quit telling people they're sinners. It's like telling the devil, you a liar. He's like, I know. And then he look at you, and what? Amen. Grace and his promise is the blessing that God has for us. Amen. A couple of quick house announcements I want to share with you. Our welcome cards. Before you leave, make sure I have all your updated information. Make sure I have your email that is legible. Well, Pastor, that little area is a little bit too small. Turn it on the back. Some of y'all write real fast. Slow down. So that I can get it legibly. Amen. Well, Pastor, you've had my card for 2 years. I'm telling you, do it again. Grace. Amen. For you parents that have children, as you list the birthdays of your children, make sure we have the birthdays. And then on the back side of your children, just put what color they like. If their color is blue, put Johnny's favorite color is blue. Their favorite character, Spider-Man. The reason for that is when we send out birthday cards, we want to send something that they like. Amen. All right, now I'm going to talk to these, you know, 21 and over. Okay, the 21-year-olds that have been there for about 10 years. Write your birthday on there. Amen. I know you've been celebrating 21 years for about, you know, 33 years, but it's okay. Listen. Listen. It's your anniversary of 21, like 15 years ago. But listen, put your birthday on there because we want to send you birthday cards. Put your address on there so it's legible. Amen. Put your phone number on there so we can text you. We ain't going to see where you at. How come you ain't in church? That's not what we're going to do. This ain't no daycare. This ain't no daycare. We're not trying to find out where you been. God knows. I don't have to know. But every now and then when we have something in our spirit, we want to pray for you. We want to text you, say everything okay. We just want to pray with you. I've never taken any type of membership in this church. Because we're all family. Did I have to do a membership class to become your son? No? My wife had to do a membership class before we got married. No? No? No, because we're family. There is no membership. We are all members of the body of Christ. We're family. Amen? That's why when you look at your neighbor to your left and to your right, y'all look alike. Yeah, y'all do. Turn around. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Turn around. Look. Smile, too. Don't just look at him like, you don't look like me. Why you got to sit next to me? No, that's your brother and sister right there. Smile. Smile. If someone's giving you that lemon look, just squeeze and put a little sugar in it. You get some lemonade. It's all right. Amen. High five your neighbor and say, we're going to do what Pastor said. Hallelujah. This Tuesday at 7 o'clock will be the praise team practice where all the singers will be here with the praise team. You had a little dose of what is going on. There is so much more happening, so much more happening. So I just want to let you know that there's a lot of things that God has given the house of manna. Favor. Okay, they don't understand what favor is. I didn't say flavor. I said favor. Favor opens doors. Favor allows you to walk through doors that you had no business going through. Favor puts you at the front of the line when you thought that you were overlooked. Favor puts you in a place of the city where people started looking for mega churches for help. But God said, I have a plan for the little church that has a big heart. And I'll put you in a place because favor puts you in the right place. God, I hope you understand this. Please understand this. We had Project 61 at the Olizon Courts yesterday, and I met with Joe Dyer. Began to talk to him what we want to do. We want to put a concert for back to school out there at the Olizon Courts. We're going to partner with Valero Corporation, and we're going to bring some Tejano artists. We're going to bring the Manna Praise Team. We're going to have local artists. We're going to have rap groups. We're going to have worship teams. And we're not going to take, if some of y'all were there this last year when we did the epidemic tour, and we just were on the little field, I mean the two basketball courts, we're doing it on the field, on the stage. And we are going to incorporate all of the housing in that area. Amen? So this week I'll be having a meeting with Joe and the San Antonio Housing Authority to start to get this ready for back to school for the first weekend of August. Amen? Now, with that being said, other people have asked Joe if they can do something. And Joe looked at me yesterday. He says, do you know them? I said, anything that I bring to you is someone that I have gone through and I have relationship with. If someone comes to you that I have not sent you, I don't know them. But anybody that I bring to you is because I have developed relationship with. And they're like mind, like spirit. So what you see that we do, they do. He says, it'll be better for you to have everything under the house of manna. It'll be better for us to have one person that we go to, which will be you. So I tested favor. Do you have another property that you manage that we can do some outreach to, like on the east side? He says, matter of fact, I do. And they need a lot of help over there. I said, okay, we're going to duplicate what we're doing here, and we'll send out pastors and leaders over there to do what we're doing here. He says, as long as it's under the house of manna. Favor puts you at the front of the line. Favor puts you where you've always belonged because he's predestined you. You just happen to step into what God has called you to do. Amen? So just to let you know that's the direction we're heading in. There's a lot of things happening, and I hope you understand that God has positioned us to take this city. Amen? That don't mean just House of Manna. That means that other ministries coming together, locking in with the same vision to take this city, take City Hall, and to take this nation. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. For you parents, they have children that go to the back to our Kingdom Kids. This is right outside the door of our Kingdom Kids, our nursery in the back. If you have a smartphone, not the phone. For some of you, what's the dumb phone? Okay. You scan this in, and it'll register little Johnny, little Susie into the daycare. It'll also tell you what they're going to be learning today and this week. And it'll also tell you what they're going to learn next week. Amen? You know why this is very important? Because it's biblical. The Bible says, You train them up. Not the church. You. Amen. Parents, download that app. It's in the Share Faith, Parent Share. And when you download that, you'll see all the benefits that you have that's available for you and your children. Amen. We are utilizing the program that we have purchased back in November before I went to Kenya, Africa. We purchased it. We had some technical difficulties. We worked it out. Say it with me. He worked it out. No, say it with me. He worked it out.
He worked it out.
God worked it out for us. We trained some of our teachers back there so they can know how to work it. The kids are going to have their time back there. They'll be coming out with all of their festivities that they've done in the back, and they'll get to share it with their parents. And the kids will be teaching the parents the Bible, because that's how it usually goes. They keep you in check. That's what happens. Amen. Because, you know, when you start getting all negative and start saying, and they say, negative is not of God. You got to speak positive. That's coming from them learning. Amen. All right. I want to share with you what I started last week, was the blessing blockers in your life that really stifle everything, and it keeps you from obtaining the promise. Now, I went over this last week, and I told you that one of the first things was complacency. Remember that? When you're complacent, you give in to many things, and you compromise to the things that God has spoken to you, and you want to do things your way. How many of you have that tendency to do that? And just be honest, you're in church. It's okay. Right? You have a tendency to do things your way, because, you know, you know more than God. You know, like when I went to school, I knew more than the teacher. Mom, I don't have to go to school. I'm smarter than the teacher. She doesn't know what she's talking about. She's so old and everything. She don't know. Haven't you heard that from the kids, the teenagers today? They don't even know why we got to learn stuff that we're never going to use. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? How to break down English grammar, you know. Can I text it? If I can't text it, it's no need for me. I think we need to do a class on texting. How not to. I look at some of y'all real close now. Yeah, you won't pick up the phone and call someone and tell them how you've been feeling. You just text it to them. All right, let's go to the next slide real quick, because help me out, David. Help me out. Let's go to the next slide. All right, mediocrity. All right, Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you don't know anything else from today, if you don't learn anything else from today, learn that scripture. You want the perfect will of God. You don't want the permissible, you want the perfect will of God. The permissible will of God is going to say, I'm going to allow you to do that, but you're going to reap what you decided to do based on what your intellect was. I'd rather have the wisdom of God that does not come from man, but comes from God. It's the wisdom that would lead me into all truth, because it comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. Those are your Bible references from last week. If you have them, if you don't, screenshot it. You know how you screenshot it? Just take a picture of it. Write it down if you're quick. All right. You know, if you're done. All right, more weight. Go ahead and get it. Click, click. Got it? All right. See, that's how you do. That's how you do. I'm looking at me. I don't know how to screenshot. Take a picture. Don't act like you don't know. You got about 50,000 selfies on your phone, and you don't know how to take a screenshot. In other words, you're not going to take a picture of yourself. You're going to take a picture of the screen. It's got all the Bible references. Some of y'all are so caught up in the selfie. Stand up here and take a picture like this. That's it, right? If you want to do a groupie, we all stand there. All right, y'all got it. We're moving on. You got it? All right. Being transformed. David, just go ahead and continue doing that for me, if you would. I want to start off the next one. Go to the next one, sir. Number two is negativity. Negativity, to deny, contradict, refute, to neutralize. The synonym means uncooperative, antagonistic, and hostile. That's what negativity is. You know what negativity will do? It'll kill the very dream and promise in your life. Are y'all in the building today? Are you understanding that the Lord is speaking about your mouth? When I ask Lionel to come do a tithe and offering, I don't talk to him about what he's going to say, what he's going to do. Much less to anybody that I say to come up and preach. I'll let the Spirit of God lead them, and I'll guarantee you it'll be in conjunction with what we're talking about. out of your mouth determines what's going to come your way. Have you ever been around someone that is just so negative? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't do that. Start all kinds of offenses. Well, he looked at me because he said, you're not negative. Don't look at somebody like that. But negativity will begin to stifle the very growth in your life. Do you understand that? Y'all just agreeing with me because you're in church, right? It keeps you from moving forward. Negative thoughts can become negative words. We all know the words have power. Negative thinking can keep us captive. We can unknowingly choke out our blessings with negative thoughts. We tend to think that if we expect the worst, then we will not be as disappointed if things do not turn out the way we hoped. It is time to stop speaking in a way that is inconsistent with what the Lord has spoken. Next slide, sir. Here's your Bible references. Screenshot it. Come on, take another picture. I should be seeing flashes go out. Click, 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 click. It's the paparazzi time. Jesus is in the building. Everybody should be trying to get all these kind of photos of Jesus. And some of y'all that have those high definition phones and stuff, maybe you just see Jesus standing there. What you said? See a fiery flame right around the Bible references. All right, now. You have them? Okay, I'm going to wait. We'll leave it right there. We'll stay right there. First of all, I want to welcome everybody on the podcast to the House of Manna. This is part two of the blessing blockers that choke out life in your life. And the topic of today is negativity. The scripture references of Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit has a way of writing some stuff in the Word that you kind of skim through it. You don't take it serious. Let's read that one again. I kind of like that scripture. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And then there's a semicolon. That means pay very close attention to what I'm about to say. And it says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Are you hearing that? You know, Lionel, can you bring me a big old stack of bananas from back there, please, Lionel? Seriously. Mr. Lionel Gonzalez. Mr. Lionel Gonzalez. Yeah, a stack of bananas. There you go. Heller. Heller. Look at it. You got that strut going on. What you said? Look at it. Hey, all right. Look at here. Lionel, you know, last I checked, if I begin to plant a banana tree, I'm only going to get one banana? It's a whole bunch. A bushel of them, right? The bushel of bananas? Okay. He's trying to be real edumacated here. It's a bushel. It's a bushel. Can you go ahead and take one of those off right there, please? Just take one off. Just pull it off. Pull, there you go. Now. Can you hold this patch? Hold on, brother. You want to take one? Take one. That's good. But what happened when we put that one seed in the ground, how come we didn't just get one banana? We got multiple, right? Multiple. You were able to partake of the seed that I put in the ground. He was able to partake with the fruit that I put in the ground. I got a whole bunch. Let's take one. I don't eat bananas. Well, you will today. Mira vaya, necesitas potassium. Not just one. You're going to watch it. She'll take the whole thing. Look, I brought you a gift today. Don't say you never got anything from church. You came to church and you got a banana. Got a banana. God is such a giving God. He's a giving God. Look, see. Woo-wee. It's good. You need a banana. Take a banana. There ain't no fruit, nothing. You need to take a banana. But now watch this. What happened with the one seed that was planted into the ground? Hey, Benna, smile. That one seed produced enough fruit to bless other people, correct? Thank you, sweetie. Now, what happened was that the seed that proceeds out of your mouth If it's good seed, it's going to still produce. Even if it's bad seed, it's still going to produce. But the good seed produces a good harvest. A bad seed produces a bad harvest. Where negativity comes in is other people will reap that negative thought that you have. That negative thought can affect not just you, but others. That negative connotation in your voice, you know the one, old pastor preached today. Oh, what? We preach. I left with bananas, but I don't know what you're talking about. See, you're not coming across belligerently trying to be negative. That's why y'all text, because you don't want to see the body language or hear the voice on the other side of the phone. Because if you text, you can't see the reaction. But it's much less like the kids that have that FaceTime and Skype. They don't want to answer the FaceTime because they know, where you at? I'm in class. No, you ain't. You're not in class. Answer the FaceTime. Those are the ones that are in school, baby. This one. Some of you married folks in here. FaceTime me. Get here. No. Bad reception. I can't answer that. I got to text you back. You know, FaceTime me. I want to see where you're at. It's kind of like what God is saying. I want to see where you're at. Are you staying in negativity? And are you hanging around with people that are negative? You don't have to tell me about you. I just look at the people that hang around you. That tells me everything about you. Y'all missed that one. Y'all missed that one. I don't have to know whether or not you are drunk. I just look at the company you keep. I don't have to know whether you're a prostitute. All I have to do is look at the people around you. Mm-hmm. I said, why are you going there? I thought it was Vision Sunday. I thought it was going to be happy day. Happy times. Because I'm happy. Here's the thing. When you get around negative people, your thoughts become molded into negativity. And what happens is everything that is good that enters into those ear gates has a tendency to want to chop it down so that it doesn't produce the right harvest in your life. Do you understand that? So what happens in churches when men of God and women of God have mounted the pulpit to do the very work that God has called them to do, what they have to deal with is the negative thoughts that are actually in the atmosphere, which is an influence. It's a spiritual influence. And when they get up and mount the pulpit getting ready to deliver the very word, the influence is beginning to look for somebody that will agree with a negative thought, and it will begin to develop the fruit within there. A seed was just deposited in you. You won't know it because the fruit, because when I put the banana, in the seed of the banana tree in the ground, and it don't come up right away. It takes time. Now, for those of you that got your bananas, take that banana home. Don't eat it. What's going to happen? Some of y'all like. It's going to start to spoil because it came off of the branch. It's not connected to the vine. Because he is the vine dresser. And as long as you're connected to the vine, you're connected to the root, which the root is Jesus. And he is the good seed that is incorruptible. He is the one that will produce the good harvest in your life. And when you understand when some of the fruit is taken away, what happens is the fruit begins to get spoiled by negative words and negative thoughts and negative actions. But if you stay connected to the source, somebody help me now. Somebody help me now. Because some people have a tendency to want to be all kinds of negative. And then when you bring truth to them, they get all mad. And they say, you have offended me. The offense only comes because that very seed is inside of you. If you got a seed that is always getting offended, let me help you. There's an instrument that knows how to get deep into that very root and get that root of negativity and get it out. But you got to plow through that soil that has been overlaid with all kinds of dung in your life. That's called poop. And all that kind of crap that came your way has made you bitter and unhappy. Negativity will stifle the very growth in your life. It will stop the very dream from coming to pass in your life. And when you think a dream is about ready to come forth, you're going to see a whole different kind of fruit than what was ever planted in the soil. And sometimes God says, I need my people that mount the pulpit come with truth. So we can break the fallow ground. Break it up and get rid of that very root of the seed of deception and negativity. Do you understand that? We have gone through too much, people. Too much. We have been a church, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about house, I'm talking about everybody. We have been the body of Christ that has been pushed around too long. We no longer have a voice because we gave our voice away. We begin to compromise to the things of the world. And God says, if you want to conform to this world, you're going to begin to reap the roots, the fruit, and everything that comes along with the world. I died because you are not of this world. You're of a world that is coming down out of heaven, which is the grace of God to be established here on earth with dominion, power, and authority that God has given you. But when you begin to compromise in mediocrity and complacency, you will see all kinds of negativity in your life. Things and actions that you do will be negative. But we have to plow. We have to dig. We have to put our feet pressed down into the soil and say, now, God, I will not be moved. I will not be swayed. I will not be deterred. But I will stand for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will not let any type of religion that is raised up to make you feel good. The Bible says that sin feels good for a moment, but it leads to death. Don't give in to this worldly system. The government that is running this country, don't get all crazy on me. I'm not a politician. I don't really care for politics. But I do know one thing. If the church does not speak up, this very country that many men and women have died for would have lost the very freedom. You just witnessed it with that movie that came out where they listened to other voices to stop the freedom of speech. And in this very city that we live in called San Antonio, they passed a law that the preachers that stand at the pulpit cannot be preaching against homosexuality. And that we have to make special provisions for transgenders that go into the restroom facilities. A woman can come in as a woman, but decide at that very moment that she's a man and go into a men's restroom at that very moment. But we cannot address it. The church has lost its voice. It's lost its footing and its place. But it will take for us, the people of God, to raise up with a voice. To say we will not settle, nor will we back down. It's not for us to fight, for we war not against flesh and blood, but against spirits. Spirits. When you see a homosexual or a transgender, that is a son and daughter of God. You love them, don't judge them. But you don't come and tell me how I can preach in my church. Because I'm not of this government. I am the government of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. I will stand for righteousness and I will stand for holiness. But I stand and fight for the grace of God and the word of God to go forth. That every child, woman, man, and child that enters to the kingdom of God is a child of God. And we will not cast judgment or come against them. We will embrace them and love them. Amen. because they are the children of God. Negativity breeds more negative outcome. We have to do away with it. Amen. Are you hearing me? I hope somebody is. I know that God has given us the power. Matthew 7, 1 through 2 says this: judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you have pronounced, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. That says a lot right there. That's why we are a church that is not going to bring judgment on anybody. We're not going to bring condemnation, or we're not even going to try to put the law on you. The law killed 3,000. 3,000 people. But at the day of Pentecost, the church of Acts birthed and saved souls. 3,000 plus. You look at what you want to do. You want to use the law? It'll condemn you to death. You want to use the grace of God? It'll bring you unto salvation. Amen? Negativity breeds. It breeds. Please understand why the enemy wants you to be negative. If you're negative, it cancels the promises in your life. Because he'll make you say things like, someday. Someday. The Bible says that faith is now, which is a manifestation of his promise. Faith now is. But when we begin to start speaking to things, someday, one of these days, someday in the near future, you're putting off the promise that God has for you right now. How many of you believe for great things in your life? Know that it's here now. It's here now. See, everything is stored up in heaven, right? No. Jesus came and says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's not up in the air. He has ascended. Like there's a beanstalk that raised up, and at the very top of the beanstalk, that you got to deal with the giant just to get the goods. How about instead of climbing, you just chop the tree down? You know how that whole saying, oh, I'm like a layer of onions. I got many layers. And God's just going to peel each layer one at a time. No, he ain't. He's going to get a knife and he's going to cut it. He's going to get right to the very center of it. He said, here's the problem. It's right here. Here's the problem. This is your problem. And you're still trying to piece the uptake. He's just dealing with me. Give me grace. He's dealing with me. No. The word of God separates and divides. It cuts and divides. It separates the bone and the marrow. What is he saying? I'm going to cut through that very issue in your life to expose it for you. You've got to work that thing out yourself with me. Oh, no. I don't want to go right directly to it. Let's just do one layer at a time. Every time you peel that layer off, you put another one back on. What are you trying to expose that God has already exposed? It's that very thing that we don't want to do. It's too hard. I'm going to do it. Just give me my time with Jesus. Jesus said, I've been waiting for you a little bit too long. Especially on that issue. Because if you don't want to deal with it, since you don't want to surrender your will to me, keep it. Some of y'all think, well, no, God did away with all of that. No, he gave you access for you to deal with it. But if you don't want to deal with it and you want to keep your will intact, let me just give you a little nugget from the kingdom of God. When Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done, he spoke it in a garden by himself with the Father. When he said, not my will, but your will be done, the army was coming to take him to his cross and immediately showed up. When you keep your will to yourself, you delay your own blessing. But when you submit your will, you get the immediate. You get the immediate that God has promised you. I mean, you've been fighting the same issue for a long time. Be honest. There's the cross. You've been dealing with an issue, and you know you've been dealing with it. Surrender your will. God, I give it to you. But this time, I'm not picking it back up. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to walk away, and I'm going to walk into my freedom. Amen? Amen. Say it with me now, freedom.
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 Say it again like you mean it.
Freedom.
Now say it like you believe it.
Freedom.
Now say it like you're walking in it.
Freedom.
Amen. Let's go to the next one. Here's why I want to share this with you. Martin Luther King had a dream. What was that dream? Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation. It is time to rise from isolation. Now is the time to live the dream. We had a pioneer that had a vision, had a dream that came from God to unite a people, not to divide a people, but to bring all nationalities. You hear that, Lionel? What you said is part of the message. How I like to say, get out my Kool-Aid. God is bringing people together, like-minded, like-spirited, in one accord. He's breaking all denominational barriers. He's breaking all cultural differences so that we can experience culture together. When I went to Kenya and began to minister in Kenya, there was a whole different culture I had to get used to. But the first time they said, you're going to preach today, sir. I said, okay, whatever. Okay, yeah. Preach, I do that, sure. What time we start? 10 o'clock. At night? No, in the morning. Say what? In the morning? Okay. What time we finish? Sometime about 6, 7 o'clock in the evening. You gonna make me fast? Oh no, we're gonna feed you. And I mean feed you good. See, the rice. Your whole body fits in that pot, Flory. That rice pot's so big. And they said, No, you gonna preach? And then Papa Louis gonna preach. Elder Allen's gonna preach. We're gonna take a break. And we're gonna eat. Then we'll come on back. We're going to preach some more. You said we get to eat? What are we going to eat? He says, we got some rice and beans. What you said now? You from San Antonio, Texas. Rice and beans. And then I saw this bread and I thought it looked like tortillas. But it wasn't tortillas. It was chapati bread. And it was the chapati. And the chapati had an anointing on it. My God, today. It would bring the anointing so strong. You would grab the beans. You'd grab the rice. You put... And I would feel the Holy Ghost so strong. And not only that, they would fill you up. And they say, Pastor, you want some more? And then they would bring this watermelon. The watermelon. Oh my God. Watermelon so red and so sweet. When you ate that watermelon, you're like... Bananas? Y'all don't know about no bananas here. No. The bananas, these bananas are the sweetest things you have ever tasted in your life. They didn't go down to no market to get it either. They went up the trees, they got it, pulled it, and they brought it in. They fed you good. But before you sat down to eat, watch this. They brought a basin of water, a pitcher of water, with hot water. He said, extend your hands. And they would wash your hands individually. And they would pour the water over your hands to every individual in the room. He said, God, this is very prophetic. He said, my servants need to understand that I've come to serve them. But my sons and daughters need to understand that I've prepared a place for them. And if they would just walk in what I have given them, they'll be able to see the dream that I have shown them. And they'll be able to live it out. You see, I had an understanding when I was over there that some things may be different, but yet still the same. Stand from the pulpit, you're preaching the same gospel, whether you're in Ghana, whether you're in Kenya, or whether you're in South America. You're preaching the gospel of good news. You understand how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. I began to understand something. There was such a hunger in Kenya. A hunger. They don't want you to stop preaching. They've been there just as long as you. They've been sitting down in the chairs longer than you because you're standing up preaching. They've been sitting. There's not enough paper and pens for them to take notes. Not because they don't know. It's because they're looking for the fresh revelation that you're bringing. Their Bibles have been beaten, tattered, and worn. You show me a beaten up Bible, torn Bible, you'll see a life that is put together. Because they're digging in for something that they know is there for them. I've had an understanding of people that are hungry for God. See, Martin Luther King had a dream. The Lord spoke to him. And because the dream has gone forth, he began to speak the very dream in platforms. What happens when you start telling people your dreams? Tell me, I don't know what happened. All kinds of hell breaks loose. Jealousy usually comes. Why you? You didn't go to seminary school. Do you understand? Martin Luther King had a dream. Oh, we cannot turn back. We can't put our hands to something and look back, because then we're not fit for the kingdom of God. That's why we cannot look away. We cannot be still. We must push forward. Do you understand? How much adversity did Martin Luther King have? What? Oh, you mean it wasn't easy because God said? Oh, you mean the things of God are always supposed to be easy? How many of you have experienced that easy? Mm-hmm. Anytime God is speaking to you and giving you a vision or a dream, know that opposition comes. Because it's truly the thing of God. We cannot walk alone. Here's the key right here. We are not alone. We are a people with a voice of unity, a voice of truth. It is time to unite. Do you understand this? I hope you understand this. Are y'all copying? I see people writing. I'll leave it there for a minute. We cannot walk alone in this, guys. And I'm not talking about what Martin Luther King was talking about. I'm talking about getting the gospel with people that want to see the fruits revealed. Amen? Be a voice of unity, not of division, not with dissension, but unity. Amen? All right. Moving on to the next one. Vision is purpose. Vision is challenged. Vision is reproduced in others. Genesis 37:5 in the King James 21st edition says, "And Joseph dreamed a dream. He told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more." How many of you have experienced that? I had a dream. My dream in this house is to raise up sons and daughters. Jeff, move my pulpit, please. Move my pulpit. Raise up sons and daughters for the kingdom of God. God has given me a dream of this house to be an apostolic house. An apostolic house is that of sending and placing for planting. You understand that? As an apostle of God, you raise up a Timothy. And when you raise up a Timothy, you send Timothy back to the master to teach the master what the servant used to be, is now son to an apostle. Are you hearing this? See, we have to have that understanding that Timothy was a servant, a slave. But he began to follow the Apostle Paul and began to get the teachings of what Jesus had taught him in the kingdom of God, is that we're sons, not slaves. And so he began to teach him the word so much that he had a better understanding and revelation than the master. So the Apostle Paul says, "Though I would love to keep him, I know it's better for me to send him to you. Because of the love and the kindness that he shows, he can help you to understand." I've had many people come to the doors of the house of Mary. Many. My shepherd, Papa Louis, said, when you speak the vision, speak it every month. Tell the vision, because some people hear it once and they think that that's it, but they soon forget. This is Vision Sunday. And the vision of this house is to raise sons and daughters. Not slaves and not servants. Sons and daughters. When you raise up a son and daughter, you send them out. As a leader, we must see the potential in others. And as a leader, you draw on their strengths. You don't harp on their weaknesses. You look at the strength and say, this is what God has given you, and this is how you can make it work. You have to let go of the past to grab hold of the future. You understand that? How many of you understand that God is doing a work here in San Antonio, Texas? I'm not talking about the house. I'm talking about a work here in San Antonio, Texas. Where revival is going to hit. Many prophets are discussing that San Antonio is about to experience a revival like never before. That's been precedent to no one. It's never been written. It's never even been talked about. We're about to see something fresh, new, and different. But it begins with an awakening. We must be awakened to the thing that God has had in store for us. Being that it is Vision Sunday, I spoke to Daniel. Some of y'all know Daniel. Some of you that don't know Daniel. Daniel has come and gone through this house. Some have been led astray by influence. But each time I watched and I said, son, one thing I do know about you is you're an evangelist. You're an evangelist. I'm not saying you're a pastor. I'm not saying you're a prophet. I'm saying you're an evangelist. That's your gift. That's your call. That's your mandate. Now, the gift of an evangelist is to operate in the fivefold ministry. The gift of healing. The gift of prophecy. The gift of being a father. You understand? Teaching. And when I saw that in him, I said, you know, one of the things that I do know is that many people will leave a house of worship and want to go start their own thing. They want to go do their own thing because they feel they're called to do it. Me included. Started all kinds of ministry. I'm preaching just to my children, my wife, and my mom. My mother-in-law, looking at them. This is a good church. It's just us. So you have the understanding that God is the one that will send you out. You understand? And before he sends you out, he'll speak to the authority that he's placed in your life so that you have that understanding. You understand that? I hope you understand that, because some of you are sitting here and you're sitting on the very gift that God has given you, the very call and mandate in your life that God has spoken into your life. It's called a dream, a vision. And the only way that's going to manifest is if you truly trust the authority that's in your life. But if you have the negative thought that you can do this on your own, you say, go do it. You'll be back. The prodigal son did what he wanted to do. Give me my inheritance. And he wound up in the pig's pen. It's always better to be sent than it is to just go. Amen? So Daniel, if you would come stand over here, sir. To face the congregation. Mama, if you would stand with your son, and Jackie, you can take the pictures for Mama. It's good to see you, Jackie. It's good to see you. If I can have my wife stand with me. Let's get in the lights so we can see in the lights. Ah, mira que cute, mira que pretty. Mira. To recognize an evangelist is to recognize the call. It's to see the heart and not to harp on the weakness, because we all have them. But I look at every weakness as an opportunity to become a strength. You understand? Mama, you've witnessed a walk from your son that sometimes has no understanding too. Much less he has no understanding. And for him to go and tell you, Mama, this is what God's doing, I guarantee you it's not. Because he's trying to discover it on the road to the destiny. But there's something in your heart and in your spirit that begins to say, God is doing something, but we just don't know what. Inside of you, was a gift that God gave. And he gave into this world for such a time as this. Through the hardships, through the trials, know this. You have labored through to bring forth promise. Promise. It's not to say that your other children are not promised. If I could spend time with Ms. Jackie, you know, just saying. But thank you. Thank you for covering them and praying for them and keeping them under the prayers that will take them to places that he's yet to ever go. And the very thing that has him so bound that won't loose him into foreign soil is the very miracle that God is coming through for you. See, God is going to make a way for you to get your passport. Not only is he going to make a way for you, the invitations will be there. And those invitations come, and know this, that you'll go as a son. Cover, and you'll go as an evangelist. Amen? When you go with the covering, you don't only go with your anointing, but you go with the corporate anointing. So I bless you, son. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, Father, I recognize him as an evangelist of the kingdom of God. Father, I just thank you that you order his steps and you lead him to places that you have called him to be. And Lord, that everything that he's doing, let it be revealed through the works and through the fruits of the Spirit of the living God. I thank you in advance for what you're doing, and I thank you for what you're about to do. But Lord, let them see you, God, the Spirit of God, and let them not see the man. Let them see God in everything that he does. Let the flesh decrease right now. Let him learn to die daily, Father God, so that the Spirit of God will live through him. That they can see the Spirit of God and not the flesh of Daniel, but the Spirit of God in him. Father, I thank you for the renewing of his mind, and I thank you, God, for his heart to be pliable and molded to the things that you called him to do. Father, I anoint his hands for the miracle working power of God to work through him, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Church, do you receive him as evangelist for the kingdom of God? Do you hold him accountable for the things in the Word of God, for the things that God has called him to do as an evangelist? Hallelujah. Mama, I bless you. I love you. It's good to see you. And I declare good things in your life, that you will witness the manifest presence of God, not just in the ministry, but in your very home. You're a blessing. And you keep praying that thing you keep seeing. Amen. Hallelujah. Love you. Love you. Hallelujah. You stay right here with me, Bama. Pastor Flory, if you would come to the front, sir. You can leave the banana to Mama. Some of y'all know that you've been here long enough to know that Pastor Flory came from Africa. He met with a couple of people and he says, revival is coming to San Antonio and God's going to do great things. He happened to be at a shop and they said, you need to meet Pastor Marty. He came in and he sat with us in this little room over there. I call my office, my chambers. And he didn't know anything about me, but he says, give me a piece of paper. He says, I hear by the Spirit of God. M-A. The letter R. Letter T. The power. Y. And I'm looking at that. I said, that's my name. He says, but then there's a letter P. I said, oh Lord, here we go now. And he spells out my last name. I said, God, what you doing here? He said, God chose you. And God knows you. And he knows you by name. I said, okay. I said, okay. I've seen a whole different side of the prophetic now. Hallelujah. So he began to make this church his place of worship. And he would always say,
Pastor Martin.
Say it again.
Pastor Perez.
Pastor Perez, you my pastor. Pastor Perez, you my pastor. I said, huh? Are you what? So you come from Africa and you have churches under you. You have ministry in Africa that you have sons and daughters that have raised up churches and you've established. And I'm your pastor? This Mexican? But it has been a blessing. And a couple of weeks ago, he called me. He says, I need a letter that I'm under your ministry. There is an event that they're doing. I've been doing a lot of ministry. So Pastor Floyd says, the Lord has used me too much. His way of saying God is using him a lot. The prophetic and deliverance, he says they're going to do a meeting and they want me to preach there. But Pastor Perez, if you don't say yes, I don't go. If you say yes, I go. So I began to understand that God was saying me, Marty, son, I'm doing something in you you're not going to understand. Just let me do it. And I'll bring people of like mind and like spirit to you. And we've seen so much deliverance. Some of you have experienced some of his ministry here. Some of you that haven't, you're like, wait. I want him to tell me my name. The powerful anointed man of God has been a blessing to us. And I know that God is doing something by bringing ministries under the umbrella of House of Manna. I recognize him as a pastor. I recognize him as an itinerant minister to go and minister into the world. Amen. He says, I want you to lay hands on me and cover me. Sir, I want to tell you that your best is yet to come. The greater is ahead of you. But you're standing in your now. As you stand in your now, you will experience the hand of God that will begin to move you into greater dimensions. That when the phone calls come, it will not come without the finances. It will come with finances to establish the work of God for the power of God to be demonstrated. You're a blessing to the kingdom of God. God has a people for you to shepherd, to guide, to train up, and to loose. Deliverance is one of your ministries. Prophetic is your office. But the heart of a father is in you to raise up ministers, raise up sons and daughters, and establish them in the land. Amen. If you would, let's put your hands on his shoulders. Father, in the name of Jesus, I anoint him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. I recognize him, Father God. I cover him. I cover this man of God and his ministry. And I release right now, Father God, the apostolic anointing in his life. Lord, I even thank you right now, Lord, that the corporate anointing goes with him and steps with him everywhere that he goes. That he goes not alone, but he goes under the auspice of the House of Manna, covered by this church, this family, that covers him in prayer and releases him and looses him into the things that you have called him to do. So, Father, we thank you for him. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, he is your mighty servant in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Church, you recognize him as a son of the house, as a pastor, and recognize him as a prophet of God in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We recognize you, sir. I know you have something you want to share with the church. And one other that I want to share with you real quick. Many of you have ministries inside of you. And in this season of 2015, we're going to draw on these ministries. And we're going to establish these ministries in you. Amen. There's a shifting of leadership. There's a shifting of direction. But there's an establishing of his kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah.
Myself away so you can use me.